is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Normandy, 1944. That is a piece of the vast story told by the historian James Holland in his new book, Brothers in Arms. One legendary tank regiment's bloody war from D-Day to VE Day. We're going to travel with the Army of the United Kingdom, a vast landscape in 1939 when the war broke out. Because at that time, the British Empire spanned the globe. And we're going to follow one particular unit that begins the war as formerly a cavalry regiment in Palestine and is transformed into a Sherman tank regiment charging across France and Belgium into Germany. I welcome James. I congratulate him. We've had wonderful times speaking of his earlier books, Normandy 44, and then the story of Sicily. But now we are with the Sherwood Rangers Yeomanry. James, congratulations and good evening. The Sherwood Rangers Yeomanry in 1939 are a cavalry regiment, and a man by the name of Christofferson is with them. What is the cavalry regiment to be transformed into, and what does that mean for the very young Christofferson? He's from South Africa, but he's in a cavalry regiment. Good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you, John, and thank you very much for that and for having me on. The Sherwood Rangers are extraordinary. I mean, the British Army in 1939 at the outbreak of the Second World War is actually 100% mechanized. It's the only army in the world that is. That sounds more impressive than it actually is, and it's largely because the British Army is incredibly small in 1939. It's allied with France, and France is going to do the army bit, and Britain's going to provide naval power and burgeoning air power. But it does have an army, and it's mechanized, except with the yeomanry regiments. And the yeomanry regiments, they're kind of National Guard. They're kind of, think National Guard, but cavalry. And they are the only, you know, horse-backed units within the British Army at the time. And obviously, they're not fit for purpose to go over to northern France. So there's still Empire policing to do and, you know, potential hotspots around the world in the Mediterranean and North Africa and Egypt and things like that. So the Sherwood Rangers Yeomanry get packed off to Palestine in January 1940. And actually, they're involved in one of the last sabers-drawn cavalry charges of the British Army. Not the last, but one of the last, against Arab insurrectionists in Palestine. So, you know, it's extraordinary, really. And yet they end the Second World War as a single unit in the British Army with more battle honours than any other. And I've always been incredibly intrigued by this idea that they begin the war being, frankly, a bit behind the times. Because they were a National Guard, or what we call the Territorial Army, you know, they're weekend soldiers. They go to kind of summer camp for 2 weeks every August, that kind of thing. And there's a photograph of them all at the Earl of Yarborough's estate somewhere up in kind of, you know, North Nottinghamshire, in northern part of England in summer of 1939, you know, on the eve of war. And there they all are in their kind of leather bandoliers and their Sam Brown belts and, you know, cavalry boots. And, you know, and if you said that photograph was taken in 1902, you know, just at the end of the Anglo-Boer War, I doubt there'd be very many people who would, you know, have any cause to doubt you. So in other words, they just look completely out of date, completely old-fashioned, from a different era, and yet they have this incredible journey in the Second World War. And Stanley Christofferson is a very, very interesting guy, because he's very smart, he's very bright, he's a little bit older than a lot of them. He is British, but he's spent some time after school working in South Africa, working for some gold mine company, diamond mines. And then he comes back to England in the late 1930s and works as a stockbroker in London, in the city of London. And actually, because of the advent of war, because lots of his mates are doing it, he joins the Inns of Court Yeomanry, which is a bit like the Sherwood Rangers, but its heart is in the city of London. And he's debonair and urbane and very, very charming and clever and well-read and worldly, which I think is very important. When war breaks out, the people in the Inns of Court Yeomanry are all split up into other yeomanries, more active yeomanries, and he ends up in the Sherwood Rangers. And with the Sherwood Rangers, he is one of very, 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 very few who are there at the beginning of the war with the Sherwood Rangers and still standing at the very end. Because that's a hell of a lot of time of fighting that they're involved with. And, you know, from being cavalry, they had their horses taken away from them in the summer in July 1940. And because Britain's army is so small, and because France has been defeated, and suddenly the British government is thinking, yikes, you know, we need to kind of massively rearm very, very quickly. And coincidentally, it's exactly what America is doing at exactly the same time in the summer of 1940. What that means is that, you know, although a cavalry regiment, it makes sense that they end up being an armored tank regiment, there aren't enough tanks to go around. So they're thinking, well, hang on a minute, there's no point keeping them with horses. We might as well make use of them. Let's make them artillery for the time being. So from the second half of 1940 right through to second half of 1941, they are an artillery regiment. And at the time, they think this is massively infradig and a massive insult, and nothing could be less becoming for an upstanding cavalry regiment than to become artillery. But actually, I think it's a very, very useful period for the Sherwood Rangers, because to learn about artillery and to learn about another form of the army and what it requires and what it needs is only going to be useful going forward when they do eventually get mechanized. And the regiment gets split up, and some of them get sent to Crete, which obviously doesn't end very well in May 1941, with another defeat at the hands of the Germans. They have to retreat from the island and get picked up by the Royal Navy, Mediterranean Fleet. And the other half end up in the Siege of Tobruk in Libya. And Stanley Christopherson is one of the ones that ends up in Tobruk. And then in latter half of 1941, they're told that they're going to become mechanized at long last. And so tank training begins, and they see their first tank action in battle, the Battle of Alam Halfa, on the 31st of August, 1942. They survive that baptism of fire just about. And then there's further training. They get issued with Sherman tanks, the precious 300 Sherman tanks that come over from the United States. They're the first Sherman tanks to go into combat in time for the second Battle of Alamein in the third week of October 1942. And from then, they go all the way through to the end of the North Africa campaign. And what you see, and you see from Stanley Christopherson's diaries and from what they're all doing, is there is a desire to get better. They want to become good soldiers. You know, they're a yeomanry regiment, so they're full of eccentrics and different people from different walks of life. They're not people who've grown up with kind of sort of militarism in their, you know, doesn't sort of run thick in the veins of their families or anything like that. They're odds and sods. They're farmers' sons. They're county lawyers and doctors and landowners and people like Stanley who've kind of been around the block a little bit. And they get together, and what you can see is this evolution from being a little bit green when they go into battle first time in late August 1942 at the Battle of Alam Halfa, through to the end of the North Africa campaign in Tunis in May 1943. They're really up their game, and there is a hunger, there is a competitiveness about those officers like Stanley to get better. And that filters down through the ranks as well. They understand concepts of all arms combat, that is working together with artillery and with infantry. And they have to do a lot of this because they are an independent armored brigade. They're not part of an armored division. And that makes them, that means they have a different role to the armor, the tanks you would have in an armored division.
The book is Brothers in Arms, One Legendary Tank Regiment's Bloody War from D-Day to VE Day. James Holland is the author. When we come back, Gold Beach. I'm John Batchelor.